in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Of us is mighty. Father, do with us and do for us what only you can do. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. Cause your word to yield the result that it talks about in our lives and in our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Clap your hands, so you people. Come and shout to the Lord! When the voice of triumph, come and shout glory! Come and rejoice! It's our season of mega harvest. Do we have mega harvesters in the house? If you are one of them, you will rejoice more than everyone else. Glory! Hallelujah! You might be seated. In God's presence, hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm so excited about this series, about today's meeting. Today's meeting will bless you in a very special way. Praise God. I say praise God. We've been looking at this very powerful teaching series, Mega Harvest, Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Let's take it from verse 1, even though I'm going to verse 2. Luke chapter 10, Mega Harvest part 3. Part 3, Mega Harvest part 3. He said, after these things, the Lord Jesus appointed other 70 also, and he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself will come. Interesting, right? Can you see that Jesus held crusade in 35 cities? And yet, it was still not enough. Jesus held crusade. You may say, how did I know? If you read down, give me verse 17, we'll come back here. You will realize that there were 70 of the disciples he sent. Praise God. I say praise God. He said the 70 return again with joy. Can you see this? And then they say, even the devils are subject to us in thy name. They return with praise report. They return successful from the mission that Jesus sent them. Now go back to verse 1. So how many disciples did Jesus send? 70. And the Bible said, he appointed 70 also. He sent them. Okay, the 70 is even in verse 1. He sent them two by two into every city and place whither he himself will come. So if he sent them two by two, how many places, how many cities did they go to? 35. So can you see, Jesus held 35 crusades, if you want to put it that way, in 35 cities or 35 places. And yet, look at what he said in verse 2. Look at what he said. Yet, look at what Jesus said. He said, therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great. And I said, the word great is a Greek word megas. Can I have the marker, please? It's from the Greek word megas. Praise God. From where we get the word, English word mega. So when we say mega harvest, it simply means great harvest. He said, the harvest truly is megas. The harvest truly is mega. Plenteous. It also means great, very large, bumper harvest. There is no scarcity of harvest. Praise God. The harvest truly is great. That word great is from the Greek word megas, where they get the English word mega. That's where we get mega harvest from. That word also means large. It also means great. Praise God. It means plenteous. It means bumper. So there is no scarcity of harvest at all. There is enough harvest in abundance. It also means abundant harvest. But he said the laborers are few. Mm-hmm. Then he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth, he will thrust forth. Am I communicating? He will thrust, he will force out laborers into his harvest. Praise God. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 4 verse 36. Give us Luke 4, 36. If I'm not mistaken. Okay, 35. Let's start from 35. Look at what Jesus said. 35. John 4, 35. I beg your pardon. John 4, 35. Jesus said, do not say, he says, say ye not, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. If you are, you see, listen. If you are waiting till December for your harvest, Jesus said you are wasting time. He said, say ye not, there are still months left. Am I communicating? Don't postpone your harvest season. Be discerning enough that the season we are in is a season of mega harvest. He said, say ye not, say not ye, that they are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. He said, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Lift up your eyes, look on the fields. He said, for they are white already to harvest. In other words, hey, it is harvest time o'clock. That's what Jesus is trying to say. Praise God. He said, lift up your eyes. And we said there are rules for reaping the mega harvest. We started looking at those rules. We said number one rule is what? Vision. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. And from scriptures, you can see that the world is the harvest field. Look on the harvest field of the world. Look at the harvest. See, look at how darkness is ravaging the earth. Look at the world of sinners. Look at the people that need salvation that Jesus has already paid for. The harvest is overripe. Harvest of souls. Am I communicating? Is overdue and overripe. Is it rushing and reap the harvest? You must have a vision of the harvest. You must have that vision in your heart. You must see the harvest in your heart. You must see it in your mind. Am I communicating? You must envision the harvest. Even as you intercede for souls to be saved, as you intercede to be successful as an intercessor for the salvation of souls and multitude into the kingdom, you must envision those souls. You must see them getting saved. You must see them coming to the saving knowledge of Christ. You pray with that picture in your heart. You pray picturing them. Are you getting me? See them saved. See them filled with the Holy Ghost. See them serving God on fire for God. It matters the picture. The journey to reaping the mega harvest starts with what? Vision. You must envision it. Before a farmer starts all the farming work and activity, he already has a vision of the kind of harvest that he's expecting. And it's on the basis of that vision that motivates his actions. Is that vision that motivates him to do everything else in the farming business? Is that vision that will motivate him to prepare the ground, plow the ground, clear the grass, plow the ground? Are you getting me? Is that vision that will motivate him to plant the seed, to sow the seed, to weed the crops, to protect it? To apply fertilizer if there is need, depending on the crop he's planting, is that vision. Vision is a powerful motivator. Vision inspires. Vision motivates. Are you getting me? It motivates actions. Baleko balakataya. Even when the farmer is sowing his seed, is planting his seed, you know, he knows that he's not wasting that seed because he already has a picture. He already has envisioned his harvest. So he's motivated to sow with joy. Are you getting me? Very powerful principle. He said, lift up your eyes. Don't allow the challenges of life to becloud your vision. Don't allow the problems, the present predicament, the contrary circumstances, the contrary wind, the storms of life. Don't allow them to blur your vision or to obscure your vision. Vision is a picture of hope. Am I communicating? It's a picture of hope. Kalido Barakata. And you know, human beings cannot live or survive without hope. Impossible. When people lose hope, they become depressed. In fact, one of the signs of depression is hopelessness. Severe major depression. I was taught in medical school when we were doing psychiatric posting. One of the telltale signs of severe major depression. And by the way, severe major depression is the leading cause of suicide. Yes, it's the leading cause of suicide. You know, one of the signs is hopelessness. Another one is loss of interest in previously interesting activities. The things that used to give the person pleasure, the things the person used to like, suddenly they have lost interest. Life has lost taste in their mouth. They are tired of living. And then demons will start suggesting to them, why don't you just put an end to your life? Just escape from the problems of this world. So to them, suicide is like an escape route, not knowing that it's highway to hell. Praise God. But the demons convince them. Nobody loves you. Nobody likes you. So they start having self-guilt, self-condemnation. You know? Hopelessness. They are sad, unhappy. They believe the whole world is against them. So what's the solution? The demon will now say, just end it here. You just whisper to their ear. Just rest. Just drink or tapiapia. Everybody will rest, including you. Take them. Sniper. Wait, when nobody is at home, just take it. Terrible spirit. The Bible calls it the spirit of heaviness. Depression. Telling people to kill themselves because of one or two problems they are facing through, they are passing through. The Bible says, unto him that is joined to the land of the living, there is hope. There are no hope, I've taught you before, there are no hopeless cases. It's human beings that become hopeless. It's human beings that allow their mind to be convinced that the case is hopeless. Because in the real sense, there are no hopeless cases. Not even death. Didn't Jesus reverse death? Lazarus had died 4 days. Didn't Jesus tame death with his faith? There are no hopeless cases. And the worst form of fear is the fear of death. Hope you know. There are so many kinds of fears. Fear of sickness, fear of failure, fear of the future, fear of the unknown, fear of poverty, fear of lack. And by the way, fear of lack is the reason why people are afraid to give, especially during these times, during famine, economic famine, an economic crunch. Is a fear of lack that stops people from giving. So some people have even stopped tithing. Some have reduced their offering. They say they are using, say, wisdom is profitable to, you see how people can twist scriptures to do whatever they want to do. Praise God. It's fear of lack, actually. And you will never be free from poverty until you overcome that fear of lack. Yes. And the only way to kill it is faith. You know, it takes faith to give. Yeah, it takes faith to give. The only way to kill that fear is by giving. Faith. Am I communicating? And when you give, it's not a loss. Don't give with a picture of loss in your mind. Don't see it as if you are throwing your seed away. No. You are having the wrong picture. See, when you are about to give, let me give you wisdom. Picture your harvest. Didn't Jesus say, give and it shall be given to you? Luke 6:38. Good measure. Look at how Jesus described your harvest. He said, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men give. Now watch this. When you have the picture of your desired harvest in mind, you will be motivated to give with joy and excitement. Are you getting me? But the problem is, many people give, but they have the wrong picture in their mind. They are giving with a picture of loss, as if they are throwing away the seed, as if they are losing what they are giving. No. Anything that leaves your hand, your seed that leaves your hand, is not going away. You are not throwing away the seed. No. That seed, you are sowing it, and it's going to enter into your future and produce a mega harvest. Are you seeing this? But the question is, can you picture that harvest? If you see it, you'll be motivated to give. Look at Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12, I think it's verse 2, the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him, Jesus, he was able to endure the cross. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy. Can you see? Jesus was able to go through all the painful suffering of the cross. He endured all that painful suffering. He endured all the torture, all the disgrace and the shaming, and then the vicarious death. He allowed himself to go through all of that. And then even the suffering in hell for those 3 days and three nights that he was in hell before he resurrected. He was able to go through all of that without losing hope, without getting discouraged. Why? He had a vision. Who for what? The joy that was set before him. Can you see? That was what Jesus was seeing. What you see, the picture, the vision you see, in your heart and mind determines what you can survive in the present. Are you listening? See, vision is a motivator. It will supply you the inspiration, the motivation, the energy you need to successfully navigate the painful seasons of life. Are you getting me? You can scale through if you can see the right picture of your harvest. Jesus saw his harvest. What is his harvest? The joy that was set before him. And what was that joy? Him being seated at the right hand of the Father. And I said, that right hand does not mean right hand side. It's not literal right hand side. The right hand of God is a metaphor. It simply means the place of supreme authority and ultimate power. The Bible says, wherefore God has given him a name which is above every other name, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And by the way, hope you know that the Godhead, they all respond, they answer to the name of Jesus. Yes, the Holy Spirit does not have a name of his own. I've taught you before. His name is not Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is only describing the attribute of his person, that he is holy and he is a spirit. He doesn't have a body of his own, but he lives in the body of Christ. He lives in us collectively. He lives in us individually. When Jesus was on earth, the Holy Ghost, he was living in Jesus' body. Now he indwells the church collectively, the universal church, and also he lives in us. He said, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? So the Holy Ghost doesn't have a body of his own. He doesn't have a name of his own too. But he responds speedily to the name of Jesus. When you mention the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost goes into action. Even God the Father on the throne does not have a name of his own. He answers to the name of Jesus. So the name of Jesus is the name of the Godhead. But Jesus did not get that name cheap. He had to go through all of this. Are you seeing this? The honor that comes with the name is a reward for his sacrifice. Who, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Oh, Shagelo Bagadaya. What is the picture of your hope? Do you know why people die and get so depressed and commit suicide? Because they have lost vision of a better life. They have lost vision of the future. You see that? They become hopeless. That's the problem. Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him? What you see, the vision of the future you can see, determines what you can survive in the present. Are you listening? It determines what? What you can survive in the present. Looking unto Jesus is our example, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You see, as a farmer, you see, I used to farm before. I told you my dad did a lot of farming. As he's cultivating the ground, it's very painful process. You see him making the ridges. You see him plowing the ground. You see him planting the maize. You see him cultivating. You see him weeding the whole thing. He's doing everything. Why? There is a picture of harvest in his heart that is motivating him to do all of that. There is a picture of the harvest. Vision of what? The harvest. How many souls have you envisioned to win this year? When you pray, do you see them saved? Do you see them coming to the saving knowledge? Do you see them getting born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, serving God, burning for God? You pray with that picture. You go for evangelism with that picture. Are you listening? Very important principle. Have you pictured your harvest of abundance, abundant money, abundant material and financial resources? Have you pictured your harvest of miracles? So we talk of harvest of Huh? Let's talk. Harvest of what? Souls. Harvest of what? Sons. When I say harvest of sons, I'm talking of transform lives. Okay? These are already born again. Okay? The transformation. Thoroughly transform lives that are growing and developing to spiritual maturity. Am I coming? It's another level of harvest. We say transformation and growth development should follow what? Salvation of souls. Then, so harvest of souls, one. Harvest of sons, two. Next, harvest of what? Signs. Signs and wonders, supernatural. I'm trying to make it easy for you. SSS, right? Signs and wonders, harvest of the miraculous. Explosions, miracles, signs and wonders. Can you see those harvests when you pray? Can you see those harvests when you go about the things you do? It matters the picture in your heart. Whether it is harvest of souls, or harvest of what? Sons, or harvest of signs. Supernatural manifestation of God's power, of the miraculous. Signs and wonders. Harvest of divine favor. Am I communicating? Breakthroughs. Testimonies. Harvest of miracles. Can you see those things? Can you see those harvests? Malekobola balataya. Bretosketila barakataya. So it starts with vision. Then we said, last week we looked at two more, right? We said, number two rule for reaping your harvest is that you sow quality seed into quality soil. Okay? Mega harvest requires mega seeds. Praise God. Very important. It requires mega seed. We said the kind of harvest a farmer envisions and expects to reap determines the kind of seeds he will sow or plant. Okay, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. He that soweth not at all shall reap also not at all. Mega harvest require mega seed sowing. You need rain water. Then we talked about the necessity of rain to water the ground and the seed sown. Okay, very important. You need rain to water, wet and soften the farmland or ground for plowing before planting your seed into that good soil. Water is an absolute requirement for farming and harvesting. And water or rain is a type of the Holy Spirit. It typifies the Holy Spirit. Am I communicating? Rain is also required to cause the seed sown to germinate, grow, and to ripen for harvest. And then we looked at two kinds of rain in scriptures. We looked at the former rain, or the first rain, or early rain, which prepares the ground for planting and helps the seed sown to germinate and grow. We said the first rain, or early rain, or former rain, is for preparation. Okay? Is for preparation. It prepares the ground for you to sow the seed. The latter rain is the second type, or the late rain. This one provides moisture that matures the crops and ripens them for harvest. We say the primary purpose of the latter rain is crop what? Maturation for harvest. Mega harvest requires mega rains. Very important. Rain typifies and represents the Holy Spirit. And we say the Holy Spirit is the Lord of the harvest. Is the Lord of the harvest. We must recognize His person. We must acknowledge Him. We must acknowledge His ministry. We must actively partner with Him to reap our desired mega harvest in all ramifications. You can't reap the mega harvest without the help of the Holy Spirit. He's your invisible partner, okay? He's your indispensable helper. And we said the Holy Spirit has come to live in us, and He has a ministry to fulfill in us. And then He has another ministry to fulfill through us to the world. That's the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of convicting and converting sinners, okay? When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, it was the Holy Spirit that what? Pricked their hearts. That's conviction, leading to repentance and what? Salvation. That's the ministry of reconciliation. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit through us, we believers, the church, to the world. That is where he is introduced with the term Lord of the Harvest. It is his harvest. We are to partner with him to reap the harvest of souls into the kingdom. That is his ministry to the world through us. He cannot accomplish it except through us. The earth has God given to the sons of men. Are you getting me? Very powerful. And I told you, there are seven things. His ministry in us involves seven things. You remember them? We saw it in John 14, verse 26, right? Verse 16, then 26 in Amplified. He's our comforter, he's our helper, he's our advocate, he's our intercessor, he's our strengthener. Media, I hope you are not sleeping. Praise God. Okay. Is our word. Look at, when we say the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the believer, we are talking of these seven things. Look at what he has come to accomplish in your life. Number one is your what? Comforter. So you must recognize these things. Number two, counselor. Do you listen to him for advice? He is a wonderful counselor. Number three is your helper. Oh, the day you receive the Holy Ghost, never should you say, I have no one to help me again. You are not helpless. Recognize him. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit is in us and with us, but we fail to recognize him. We don't give him a chance. We don't permit him to help us. We'll be trying to do everything on our own. We'll run everywhere for help. Meanwhile, the helper is there. Allos Paracletus, one called to walk with us and go with us side by side to help us all through the journey and the race of life, yet we don't recognize him. Stop struggling on your own. Recognize your helper. Okay, take advantage of his grace. He is our intercessor. He comes to our aid. He helps us pray in line with the will of God. Am I communicating? He said, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself helpeth our weaknesses in prayer, our limitations in prayer. He says, how? He comes to our aid, he props us up, he helps us to pray in line with the will of God. He helps us to pray with groanings and words, deep sighs, which are what? Which cannot be put into articulate speech. Praise God. It makes our prayer life and intercession a huge success. He's also our advocate. You see, counsel for the defense. He's our strengthener, so that you don't run out of strength. Oh, he infuses you with supernatural strength and energy. And then he's our standby. Oh, like standby Jen. Praise God. You know, when NEPA takes light, you turn on the standby. You see, he ensures you are never stranded in life. Say with me, I can never be stranded. Because I have the Holy Ghost as my helper. He is my standby. I don't run out of options. He is my standby. He is my very present help in time of need. Do you talk to him? See, learn to talk to the Holy Spirit. You know, Christianity is very practical. It's not a religion. God is very real. The Holy Spirit is the God in us and with us today. Yes. Jesus is currently in heaven. God the Father does not leave the throne. Everything God does, he does by his Spirit through his word. So learn to talk to him. He's the Lord of the harvest. He knows where the money is hiding. He knows how to make you a business success. He will make your business successful. You see, some of us, we plan, we don't consult the Holy Spirit when we plan. We just do our own thing. He wants to be involved in your life. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't want it so that it's only on Sundays that you remember him. What of Monday? What of Tuesday? What of your place of work? What of your family? What of your school? He wants to be involved in every area of your life. Stop limiting him. Praise God. Recognize him. He's very real. He wants to help you. He wants to teach you how to be successful in life. He wants to teach you how to make profit. He wants to lead you along the best path. He said, I will instruct you, I will lead you in the right path. He said, don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding. Praise God. In fact, he's the one, as I'm teaching right now, he's the one opening your understanding that you might understand this teaching. Yes, he's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives you insight into mysteries and secrets concerning God's word, concerning God's plan and purpose for your life. He's the demystifier of the future. You don't need to consult native doctor or herbalist somewhere or one fake prophet somewhere for you to know how your future will look like. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you your future. He said he will show you things to come. He will show you. He's the spirit of revelation. He's the spirit of visions and revelation. Are you listening? He will show you things to come. And listen, when he reveals the future to you, when he unveils the future to you, every fear of the unknown will die. This is what kills the fear of the future, is revelation of the future, powered by the Holy Spirit. Are you listening? So that you are not afraid of the future. You approach the future with renewed confidence. You may not know the future, but there is one that knows the future. And he lives in you. And he has revealed it to you. Am I communicating? Will you still be afraid? No. We're taking on from there. The next rule is faith. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. Romans chapter 3 verse 27. Faith is a law. Faith is a spiritual law that you must understand. You must activate and apply in order to reap your mega harvest. He said, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay. That word nay means no. No. But by the law of faith. So faith is a spiritual law or principle by which the kingdom of God operates. We were told all through scripture that the just shall live by faith. Am I communicating? Four times in scriptures. Habakkuk 2 verse 4. The just shall live by faith. Romans 1 verse 17. The just shall live by faith. Galatians 3 11. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10 38. The just shall live by faith. Four times. You see. Go to Habakkuk 2 from verse 1. Let me show you something powerful there. It says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. I will watch to see what he will say. I told you, don't just hear what God is saying. See it. Envision it. Okay? Picture it. Okay? What he will say to me. This is in his meditation. And what I shall answer when I'm reproved. Verse 3. Verse 2. He said, and the Lord finally answered and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Next verse. He said, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. At the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. And it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in himself, but the just shall live by his faith. Powerful. Faith is a personal asset of inestimable value. You see, even God is living by his faith. He expects we, his children, to live by our faith. He said the just shall live by his faith. I like that personal pronoun, is. Because faith is a personal asset of inestimable value. Are you getting me? One of the wisest decisions you can ever make in life is the decision to build your faith. One of the most important persons in your life is the person that builds your faith. Because listen, the whole of your life depends on faith. Faith failure is destiny failure. If your faith fails, your destiny will crash. Remember what Jesus told Peter? He said, Peter, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. And then he said, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. What was Jesus' prayer focus for Peter? He said, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Why? Because Jesus knows that if Peter's faith fails, his destiny will crash. If his faith fails and nobody prays for him, he will backslide. Before any believer backslides and leaves Christianity, they must have lost faith. Faith is the number one thing people lose before they backslide. Are you listening? He says, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Because if your faith fails, how can you reap your mega harvest? Because faith is a major requirement for reaping your harvest. It takes faith to sow your seed, for the farmer to plant the seed into a quality soil. Then it also takes faith for the farmer to reap the harvest. So both the planting, that seed sowing process, and the harvesting, in fact, even the waiting period before the harvest, all of them require faith. So the whole farming and harvesting is a faith adventure. Are you listening? Faith failure is destiny failure. That means no harvest. The just shall live by his faith. Even God is living by his own faith. God created this whole world by his faith. Do you know, listen, the entire universe, the galaxy, the Milky Ways, the seen and the unseen world, the heavens and the earth, they are all faith products. Whose faith? God's faith. Including humans, including you and I, we are faith creations. We are product of the operation of God's faith. How did God create the whole world? He spoke, that's his faith speaking. He spoke them into existence. He called things that be not as though they were. It was faith product. Are you getting me? You are a faith product. The world you live in is a product of faith. See, faith is spiritual currency. Do you know faith is more important than physical money? In the realm of the spirit, listen. Faith is currency. In the kingdom of God, faith is the modus operandi. Faith is our mode of operation. We function by faith. We live by faith. If the Bible said the just shall live by faith four times, that means the just can die without faith. That's the truth. The just can die without faith. The just can. If I is in Romans, is it 14:23? Apostle Paul said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. One very simple definition of faith in the New Testament is anything outside of faith and anything not done in love is sin. And you know, faith, even faith worketh by love. So anything faithless, faithlessness is sin, lovelessness is sin. That's the summary of sin in the New Testament. Anything done outside of God's love is sin. Every step outside of love, love for God and love for humanity, is sin. Anything outside of faith is sin. So you malfunction without faith. You cannot function effectively in God's kingdom without faith. Are you getting me? Because that's our modus operandi. He that doubted is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of it. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So that means if you pray outside of faith, you sinned. If you give outside of faith, you sinned. If you married outside faith, you sinned. Aha! I'm damaging some people's theology now. I'm busting some bubbles. If you apply for that job outside of faith, it's sin. That if you got any money outside faith, it's sin. You go urgent 2K minus faith, it's sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is what? I didn't write the Bible. Look at it there. I believe it. It's final authority over my life. Praise God. Christianity is a life of faith. Faith is a lifestyle of the just. Very powerful. It takes faith to sow. Do you know it takes faith to give? Jesus said, give and it shall be given. But believers are afraid to give. Why? Faithlessness. They lack faith. It takes faith to give. It takes faith to sow. Am I communicating? One of the laws that govern sowing and reaping, or seed time and harvest, is the law of faith. Do you know that even the law of giving and receiving, or the law of sowing and reaping, or the law of what? Talk to me now. Seed time and harvest requires faith for it to work. It's activated by faith. The law of seed time and harvest, or you can call it sowing and reaping, or you can call it giving and receiving, it is faith that activates it. It is faith that makes it work. Even the law of vision requires faith for it to work. Are you getting me? You know, we said one of the rules for reaping your harvest is vision. But do you know that it is faith that gives value to vision? Vision will remain dead and impotent without faith. It is faith. It takes the partnership of faith to actualize vision. To realize the proceeds of vision. Vision will go unfulfilled without faith. Because for you to accomplish any vision, you need to fight the good fight of faith. Because there will be challenges. Am I communicating? There will be discouraging times. There will be times that the contrary winds will blow against you. That's where you need faith. You need courage. Are you getting me? To weather those storms of life and actualize a vision. Did you notice Habakkuk 2 and 3? Habakkuk 2 from verse 2 to 3 talked about vision, right? He said, write the vision, make it plain, that he may run that readeth it, the necessity of vision. Then, did you notice that verse 4 talked about faith? It says, the just shall live by his faith. Is there any connection? Yes. Because you need faith in verse 4 in order to what? Actualize or fulfill or accomplish the vision that was talked about in verse 2 and 3. It is faith, the partnership of faith, that materializes vision in the earth realm. Are you getting me? Kalabakasaya. Why have people, a lot of people, abandoned the vision God have put in their heart, the vision they started pursuing? They have abandoned it. Why? The problem is that they didn't build their faith to match the vision. So when challenges arose, there was no faith to handle those challenges. They were overwhelmed by problems and the challenges of life. That's where you need vision. In your journey of life, and life is like a journey, it's a race. In the race of life, in the journey of life, storms will arise. Even Jesus faced storms. Not once, twice. I saw twice Jesus was confronted. The first time he was with the disciple, he was asleep on a pillow, and then a storm arose. The disciple tried everything, but it failed. Until Jesus arose and rebuked the winds and the wave with his faith. He said, peace be still, and there was a great calm. The second time was when Jesus sent the people away after feeding the multitude with bread and fish. Then the disciple went ahead of him, entered boat, the left. And Jesus did, he prayed all night. He did an all night, personal all night. He was in the mountain, he prayed until the fourth watch of the clock, like 4 a.m. That was when Jesus finished prayer early in the morning. The disciples have already left. And now look at the sea. No means of transportation. Jesus started walking on water. And a storm arose. The disciples were on their journey. They had left long ago before Jesus. How Jesus was even able to catch up is another miracle. Storm arose. They were struggling. And then Jesus showed up walking on water. And then they thought, initially, they were frightened. They thought it was a spirit. Early hours in the morning like that. Just imagine. Is it Pastor Maffin walking on water? They thought it was a spirit. Then Jesus said, he said, fear not, it is I. Then Peter said, ah, Master, are you sure you are the one? He said, okay, if truly you are the one, tell me to come. Then Jesus said, come. That was where Peter walked on water. And then he got distracted. Distractions are dangerous. When he saw that the wind was boisterous, his attention shifted from the word of God, from Jesus, to what? The problems. The boisterous wind. Because there was a storm too. And then he started sinking. Anytime you lose focus, your focus shifts from the word of God, from God, from the things of God, and now you are now concentrating on the problem, you will start sinking. And you know, the problems and the challenges of life, the storms, the wind of life, they come clamoring for your attention. They will be shouting in your mind for you to attend to them. They are looking for your attention. The Bible says, why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal. You can see the unseen with the eyes of faith. With the eyes of your faith, you can see a better life. Even if you are trekking right now, you can see yourself blessed, driving the best of cars, flying even your private jet with your eyes of faith. You may enter the kitchen, no food, no this one, no Gary, even Gary self. But with your eyes of faith, you can see the whole house, the kitchen, the stores filled to overflow. Are you getting? And then you start calling it forth. Faith calleth things that be not as though they were. Are you listening? That's the Christian life. We are not limited by what is seen. In fact, you can change what is seen by what? Operating the law of faith. You start seeing the unseen with your eyes of faith. Then you start calling forth those things that be not as though they were. Are you getting me? You live in the world that you call forth with your faith-filled words. Yes. Malagadaya, you can create and recreate your world with your faith. Manta Balatia, are you listening? There is no disadvantage for the child of God. You aya balakuske tila branta katai keleponde keba. So it is no news that you are going through storms. It's no news that you are, the contrary winds are blowing against you. Even Jesus faced it during his earth walk. His disciples faced it. Are you getting me? In their journey, I just gave you two instances in which Jesus and his disciples, they faced storms. How were they able to tame those storms? With their faith. Listen, every problem, every challenge you are going through right now, every conflict of life is a test of your faith. Listen, the storms of life, when they come, they are asking one question: where is your faith? Is that not what Jesus asked the disciples? When the storm was about to drown the ship was about to capsize, and then they had tried everything to no avail, water was already entering. The next thing, they reacted and responded like natural men in fear. Is that not what happens to you when you start seeing your bank account is in red? The next thing, fear. When you see that doctor's report, the pain in your body, the growth, the next thing is what? Fear. That's natural man's response. Every problem of life that comes to you is looking for your response or your reaction. There is a natural human response. There is a supernatural response. There is the right response to the storms of life. Then there is the wrong response. When you respond in fear, is wrong response. When you respond in doubt and unbelief, wrong response. When you start grumbling, murmuring and complaining, wrong response. What is the right response? Respond in faith. What is the right response? Start speaking the word of God. Start ayagabalata. Jesus said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, are you getting me? Start speaking to them. What are you going to speak? Your desired solution. The answer, the solution from God's word. That's what you should speak. And you release them in faith. You respond in prayer. Are you getting me? Don't be intimidated. It doesn't matter the size of the mountain. Stop, listen. Stop focusing on the magnitude of the mountain. The size of it. Measure the size of the mountain relative to the size of your God. Which one is bigger? That's what faith does. Malekoba. And there is no problem too big for your God to handle. Faith magnifies the power of God over the problem. My God is bigger than every mountain, bigger than everything. God is bigger than every mountain. Are you getting me? You see, when the children of Israel were confronted with a Goliath-sized problem, Goliath was a national problem. Goliath was not just a national problem, a chronic, perpetual national problem. Because he had been terrorizing the children of God, God's army, for 40 days. He will keep presenting himself. Israel and the Philistine, they were arrayed in battle against each other. And then they say, let's make it easier. You supply a champion. We will give a champion. And who was their champion? Goliath of Gath. Intimidating physique, if you see him. This guy has 6 fingers, 6 toes. He came from the descendant of the Anakims. Normal people have 5 fingers, 5 toes. Goliath has 6. Polydactyly. Extra large. The moment the children of Israel sight Goliath, they are paralyzed with fear. It was terror. Say, give me a man. All of them will retrieve into caves and hide out. Until one young stripling. A young stripling that his father sent on an errand. Say, carry Massa. Carry Akara. Go and give your brethren and see how they are doing. You know, his father sent, he sent David on an errand to take food. Go and take this one. Give the commander. You understand? 3 of his eldest brothers, they were already in King Saul's army. Eliab, Shammah, Abinadab. David was even too young for them to even accept him. If he had applied to join military, they would have rejected him. He was too young. Limited by age. This guy came and then he heard Goliath speaking those same words, and he then said, what shall be done for the man that brings down this Goliath, that handles this guy and put this and take away this shame and reproach, because the Goliath was a reproach, take it away from Israel? And then they told him, here are the rewards. So the king will exempt him and his father's house from tax. He said, wonderful. Tax free. The king will give him his daughter to marry. Wonderful. The king will enrich him, give him so many rewards. Wonderful. David was impressed. But that was not the major motivation. The major motivation, we later saw it, when his brother, his eldest brother, Eliab, saw that he was talking with somebody, he said, whoa, what are you doing? What brought you here? Who have you left those few ships with? He said, I know you. I know the haughtiness of your heart. You have come to watch the battle. So you left those few sheep in the backside of the wilderness, and then you came to watch the battle. David said, Habba now. Said, is there not a cause? Hey! That was what motivated him to finish Goliath. He saw a kingdom cause. He saw a cause. There was a burning cause. How can this uncircumcised Philistine be terrorizing the armies of the living God? Listen. To David, circumcision was not just a physical medical procedure. To him, it meant something. He knew the spiritual implication of circumcision. It was a sign of the covenant. It was a token of the Abrahamic covenant. And according to that covenant, Israel cannot be defeated. Do you understand? As long as they are in covenant with God, it makes them invincible in battle. It makes them indomitable. They are tied. They are connected to God. How can they lose? So you see, imagine, of all the people there, David was the only person conscious of the covenant that the circumcision represented. So he had faith in the covenant. Others, including King Saul, they had faith in their weapons. David's faith was in the covenant, and he was motivated by that kingdom cause. He said, let no man's heart fail because of this Goliath. I'm going to take this guy. They started advising him. He said, hey, you, as you young like this, he said, this guy, he has been a man of war from his youth. That's from his boyhood days. Talking of Goliath, he said, but you are but a youth. David needed to share testimony to encourage them. You know, sometimes when you want to dare big things and you tell it to some people, they will start advising you to talk you out of it. When you have big visions and big dreams, don't share it with small minds. They will discourage you and talk you out of it. Go and look for people that have done something like that or something bigger and share it. They will encourage you to go ahead. So you have to qualify your audience that you share your visions with. Because there are some people, they are dream killers, vision killers. For every reason you give them that it will work, they will give you two reasons why it will not work to counter it. Are you listening? He said, thy father keepeth his father's sheep. The lion came, the bear came. I summarized them. And when I delivered the lamb out of its mouth, and when the lion saw that I don't collect his food, he got angry and furious at me. And then he said, when he came, when he ran, he said, I went after it. And then I delivered it. When he got angry, turned at me. He said, I held him. I caught him by the bed. See, no bed. Gemu. That means it was face to face. It's not from the back. I caught it. How can a woman be a whole lion like this? I love David. See, liver. Hi. Chai. Kalatizo barakata. I caught it. You see, a man with the spirit of faith. I caught it by... You see, learn to face your problem. Handle it. Any problem you don't confront, you cannot conquer. Until you confront that issue, you cannot conquer it. Face it. It's not stronger than you. The Bible says there is no temptation that has come to you, no trial, no problem that is bigger than you. They are tailor-made temptations. They are common. Sickness is common. You are not the first, you won't be the last. You can be healed, you can receive your miracle. It doesn't matter how long it has been. Are you getting me? Shaleko bakata. He said, I caught it by the birds. Thy servant killed the lion and the bear. He said, this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them. And then Saul said, the Lord be with thee. And Saul is the king. The Bible says his head and shoulder taller than every man in Israel. And he was the most handsome man then. He was very handsome. Okay, before Absalom overtook him. Now listen. The problems of life is not by fine boy. It's not by tall, dark, 6 feet. Hey, Saul had all the broad shoulders. He had it. But problem came. My guy ran. It was a young boy. Listen. Ladies, hear me. Your choice of life partner. All those your calculation. Check the guy's faith level. Is he a man of faith? Because listen, there will be challenges. Challenges come. They come in marriages. Now, if you don't marry a man of faith, you will suffer. And it's not the long suffering that is the fruit of the Spirit. There are some men that if they see lizard, they will run away and go and tell the wife, there is lizard in the palace. My village people, they have come. I know them. He's not a man of faith. Are you getting me? How else will you deal with the challenges of life if not by faith? And those challenges, they come to all, irrespective of your color, irrespective of your tribe, your ethnicity, even your social status. Challenges come to everybody, rich, poor, sick, well, tall, short, black, white, pink. Are there pink people? Don't mind me, remove that one. They come to all. It is your faith. It is by your faith you weather them. Are you getting me? Barakata kabata. Marry men of faith. Don't be deceived by physical current. You know what they have or what they don't have in the physical material things. Money, that's the only thing. Now you see how mumu you be. You are making important decisions like marriage based on just physical things you are seeing. Can't you see into the future? Bishop Oyedepo's wife married him when he had nothing, but the wife saw that this was a man of faith, and faith is spiritual currency. It can buy everything else in the physical. It will produce every other thing that it doesn't appear to have in the physical. Now, and she was not the only one. No, she was not the first person he proposed to. He had proposed to three other ladies before. They rejected him because they were judging him. You know, these days when you talk to ladies, they will start assessing you from top to bottom. No, they will start with the shoe you are wearing. Say, this one na Katako market. Na, you know, even reach 1K. This in shoe. Then they will check. Ha! I see in trouser. Oh, Jesus. Oh. Oshanogba. They will now check again. Chai. See in belt. See in wristwatch. They will now check. You no even come with car. This one no even get car. Even bicycle you no get. Say, how will I escape the poverty of my father's house? Say, my father poor, I go marry poor man again. Look at you, you are carnal. Very carnal. Am I communicating? Don't be carnal. Ladies, don't be carnal. See with the eyes of faith. That is how many ladies have missed great men. Men ordained to be massive kingdom colossuses. Why? Because you were judging based on physical appearance. Okay, what if you marry the so-called rich man and you cannot see in the realm of the spirit that 3 years from marriage you will be a widow? Satan has planned to kill him. You cannot see that one. He has cars. He lives in a mansion. Is that not how some ladies have married cultists? And the next sacrifice, it was them they used. The man used them. You see? Don't be carnal. Don't be carnal. You marry. Yeah, that is how you enter married a man. Is it because he has money? Let money not be the only thing. I'm not saying money is not important in marriage, but don't be carnal in your choices. Look at his spiritual life. Every marriage will reflect the spiritual state of the spouses involved. Both husband and wife. It will show. Listen, marriage will put pressure on your flesh. So if you are not a spiritual person, there will be problem. Quarreling, katakata every day. Because you are not a person of faith. You are not spiritually minded. You are carnal. It's just like two pretenders that married each other in church. The lady, she is a runs lady. She came to church pretending to be Holy Mary, looking for husband. The guy too, now job man, that came to church thinking we find good wife in church. And of course, church is the best place to get a good wife, except for pretenders. Now listen, two of them, they met in church, job man and runs girl. And then they got married. After the marriage, katakata start. The man looked at the girl. He said, I know no sin, I saw you do. I think say you be better person self when I see you for church. He said, you too. I think say you be good man. I don't know say you be a yeah man. Invest in building your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? Every opportunity to feed on the word, to hear the word, to feast on the word is opportunity to build your faith. Am I communicating? Very powerful. 1 Corinthians 9:10. 1 Corinthians 9:10. Are you getting blessed? 1 Corinthians 9:10. Thank you, Lord. It says, okay, watch this. Give me an amplified. I like the way the amplified version puts it. Talking about seed sowing by the farmer. 9:10. 9:10. Okay, if you pick it. Just move to verse 10 in context. He said, or does he speak certainly and entirely of our sake? Assuredly it is written for our sake. Because, watch this. He said, the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher ought to thresh in expectation of what? Partaking of the harvest. Listen, the harvest you are not expecting to partake of, you will not partake of. The harvest you don't expect in faith will not manifest in your life. So he's talking of the expectation of faith. That is what is motivating the plowman as he's making the ridges, the furrows, preparing the ground to sow the seed for the crop to grow. He says he's doing that in hope of what? Partaking of the harvest, in expectation of partaking of the harvest. Let me tell you about the harvest you don't expect, you will not it will not manifest. Expectation is the mother of manifestation. Are you listening? Give me James 5 verse 7 amplified. Expectation is the mother of manifestation. So you must expect to fully what? Partake. Somebody say fully. Partake of the harvest. James 5, 7, amplified. It says, so be patient, brethren, as you wait for the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits expectantly. He waits expectantly. You see that? Expectation of faith. For the precious harvest for the land. See how he keeps us his patient vigil over until you receive the early and the late rains. Can you shout amen? In Acts chapter 3 verse 5, the lame man at the gate called Beautiful, the Bible says, Peter said, look on us. And then he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. Who is expecting to reap his mega harvest? Oh yes. Expecting to receive. It is the harvest you are expecting that you will receive. Are you getting the point? The expectation of faith. Kalebokosa. It takes faith to sow mega seeds, and it takes faith to reap your mega harvest. In Hebrews 11 verse 1, it says, so then faith, it says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Give me an Amplified. I like the way the Amplified put that verse 1. It says, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's King James Version. Let's look at Amplified. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. The conviction. You've not seen it with your physical eyes. The senses have not touched it, but you are convinced those things are real. Are you getting me? The conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not yet revealed to the senses. Can you shout amen? Then verse 2. Go back to King James now. Verse 2. It says, for by faith, trust, holy favor. Now give me in King James Version. For by it, the elders obtain a good report. Verse 3. It says, through faith, we understand the walls, the eons, okay? The circumstances, you know, the events in time, you see, they were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made from the things which do appear. So the seen world, it was created from the unseen world. God used the unseen raw material of his word to bring forth the seen material world. Next verse. Verse 4, this is where I'm going. He said, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Do you know it takes faith to give? Look at it there. By faith Abel offered to God first fruit. The reason why people don't give is because they don't have faith to do so. That's the truth. They don't have the faith to give. You know, faith is compartmentalized, right? Some have faith to pray, but the faith to give is not there. You see, they are paralyzed with fear of lack, fear of poverty, and all of that. So it holds them back. Their faith is not there. Are you seeing that? See, giving is an expression of faith. Tithing, giving, sacrificial giving, etc. They are all expressions of faith. It takes faith. Do you know that? Listen. If all you have in your account, let's say, is 100,000 naira, it takes more faith to give 70,000 out of that 100,000 than it will take to give 10,000 out of the 100,000. It will take even more faith to empty the whole 100,000 and give God. Ah, that is a sacrifice. That is 100% you have given. If that one will require the highest kind of faith compared to if you give anything less. So you see that giving is an expression of faith. It takes faith to sow mega seed, and it takes faith to reap your mega harvest. Praise God. It was by faith Abel offered to God excellent, a more excellent sacrifice, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift. And he being dead, yet speaketh. Can you shout amen? His faith expressed through his giving was still speaking for him. Mark 11:23, Jesus said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Then Mark 9:23, he said, all things are possible. You see, you learn to verbalize your faith. You release your faith. Listen. There are two major ways you express or release your faith. Number one is your words, your confessions. In fact, that is the primary way you release your faith. That's the primary expression of your faith, by speaking. Am I communicating? You speak forth what you truly believe. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Jesus said, you shall have whatsoever you say. It's not enough to think it, you must say it. It's not enough that it's in your mind. It's not in your what is in your mind that will manifest. It's what you say with your mouth. Are you getting me? Job 22:29, he said, thou shalt decree a thing also, and it shall be established unto you. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth word speaketh. He says, give me 28, before this one, Job 22:28, thou shalt also decree a thing. It shall be established unto thee, and then light shall shine upon thy path. In other words, you will receive wisdom and direction. It will clear every confusion. Are you getting me? The vocalization or verbalization of your faith is so important. Don't you see that the anointing was activated when David spoke words? If you go and count, do you know David spoke more words than Goliath? In that their battle, it was first a war of words. You can't win the fight of faith without winning the war of words. The problems and challenges of life, they are making a statement. They are talking to you. Your bank account talks to you. Your house rent talks to you. Your children's school fees talk to you. Those financial issues are talking to you. But the problem is, many Christians are not responding. They are not saying anything. So they lose the fight by default. And then they end up depressed. They end up worried. They end up anxious. Are you getting me? When the fig tree made a statement, Jesus replied it immediately. Did you notice? Jesus needed fig tree, and then the fig tree, no fruit. Was doing Jesus up. Jesus said, he cursed the fig tree. He said, no man eat fruit of thee forever. And the disciple heard him. So he didn't say it in his mind. Jesus answered it. Hi. I read it. I say, wonderful. If Jesus had lived today, they would say he's a madman. He's talking to a tree. He answered it. In other words, the tree is making a statement. You see your account balance. 2 naira, 50 kobo. Unto, you don't have money. You know, and you have this problem. How will you pay? No money for food. My problem is, will you answer it or not? Or will you just keep quiet? If you are silent, you lose the fight of faith by default. That pain in your body, when the sharp pain comes, is making a statement. Answer it. In faith, speak to it. Put your hand there. In the name of Jesus, I curse the pain. I command you, go. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm the healed of the Lord. From the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, I am healed in Jesus' name. Answer it. Answer that bank account. You just saw debit alert. Oh, you just even saw, they just, because some of you are owing bank, they just debited your account. It's now minus something. And you are not saying anything. Say something. My God supplies all my need according to his riches in glory. Bank account, I prophesy to you. Everything can hear in the realm of the spirit. So talk to it. Talk to your account. Talk to your pocket. Be filled to overflow. I decree abundant financial resources. I have enough to give and to spare. Jehovah Jireh supplies my need. You need to be violent with your faith. The Bible said, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. When do you fight the good fight of faith? When there is a contradiction between what is written in scripture of truth and what is happening in your life. It's a call to fight. It's an invitation to fight. It's a fight to maintain what has been obtained. It's a fight to make the legal side of redemption your vital experience. It's a fight to, am I communicating? To live in the reality vitally of all that Jesus has already paid with his blood for you to enjoy legally. Are you getting me? When what is happening is contradicting what is written, fight. You fight until the stubborn situation, the contrary negative circumstances, until they line up with the truth of God's word. Are you getting me? You fight. Malachi Dokaba, it is written, by his stripes you are healed. It is written, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, be in health as your soul prosper. You collected doctor's report. They say you have HIV. They say you have cancer. You have fibroid. They say you have this thing.
and is contradicting what is written, what do you do? What do you do? Let me tell you more. What do you do? You fight the good fight of faith. You get the word of God that has the solution. Those healing scriptures, you start meditating on them. You put those words in your heart, in your mouth. You mix it with tongue. You blast in tongue to steer the anointing. And then after activating the anointing, you start releasing your faith. You unleash your faith like a bulldog. The way they release it on criminals. In this case, the criminal is this situation that is contrary to the word of God. Are you getting me? This is how to deal with lack. Kalido Barakata, stop explaining the economic situation. Rise up. Come up, Ita. Am I communicating? What is written in the... He said, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, for my sake he became poor, that I through his poverty might be made rich. If it is true that Jesus has been made rich, it is also true. If Jesus has been made poor, it is also true I've been made rich. I am not the poor trying to be rich. I am the rich discovering and collecting what belongs to me. Are you getting me? You start declaring like Abraham, I'm rich in silver, I'm rich in gold, I'm rich in cattle. Is that not what the scripture say? He said, look unto Abraham your father. And Abraham was a heavy load, he was loaded, he was a financial heavyweight champion. You start declaring. Don't be silent, don't be mute, or else you lose by default. Paul wrote to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Epilambano my eternal life. It means to lay hold for accomplishment. It means to lay hold for safety. Are you getting me? You lay hold on your inheritance. This is how to fight to possess your possession. Blood bought inheritance in Christ. You have to fight. Kaleboko sabakata. Jesus told them, Lazarus, they told him, Lazarus, your friend is sick. He said, Jesus says, it's not unto death. Satan heard it and killed Lazarus. Is that no opposite? Have you been there? You confess what you are believing God for. The opposite happened. What do you do? Jesus too faced that kind of situation. He said, this sickness is not unto death. Satan heard it and killed Lazarus. Now Lazarus was dead 4 days. Did Jesus complain? Did Jesus sit down and say, God, Kai, are you sure what you told me initially? Did Jesus grumble or murmur? What did he do? Somebody say, fight. God promised you that job, and then you went for interview. They gave you red card. What do you do? Don't give up. Mm-mm. There are no deadlines in the realm of faith. It is not over until you win. Are you getting me? Jesus fought the good fight of it. He stood at Lazarus' tomb. He said, Father, I thank you because you have heard me. When did the father heard him? When he said initially, this sickness is not unto death. Jesus, beyond every iota of doubt, knew that the father heard him. And it doesn't matter that Lazarus died. It doesn't matter what is happening in the physical. He said, why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Make the word of God your reality, not what is happening. Are you getting me? Jesus said, Father, I thank you because you heard me. He was not in doubt. He didn't doubt the word of God. He didn't stagger at the promise of God like Abraham through unbelief. Are you getting me? Unbelief makes you to stagger. Ask in faith. Don't doubt. He that doubted is like a wave of a sea tossed to and fro. Let that man not think he will receive anything from God. You don't receive through doubt. You don't receive through unbelief. It is by faith we receive. Faith is the funnel with which you receive from God. It is the crucible, the container with which you receive your inheritance. It is unto you according to your faith in this kingdom. Are you getting me? Stop complaining your portion is small. It is according to the size of your faith that you take delivery of your inheritance. Are you getting me? Build your faith to match. Are you getting me?
Jesus said, Father, I thank you because you have heard me. And you know, thanksgiving is the native language of faith.
When he said that, the next thing, Lazarus, come forth. He issued a decree, and Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. My God, Lazarus heard him in Abraham's bosom. Lazarus, the voice of faith, tamed death, dominated the spirit of death. Lazarus left Hades, his spirit, came back, entered his body. His body that decomposed and everything was healed. And then he came out, bound hand and foot. He said, lose him and let him go. Who won finally? Shalagabataya. Leko vreketiza. The Bible said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their mercy. Stop observing lying vanities. Stop getting worried by exchange rate, by fuel price, by rising costs. Fix your gaze on the word of God. Sit down and build your faith. Then begin to release your faith. The more the pressure, the more you should be declaring your faith. Are you getting me? In fact, sometimes you say you are confessing once, it's not working, increase it. We doctors sometimes, when we are treating, Dr. Jesse is here celebrating. Now listen, well, sometimes if you ask Dr. Jesse, you are treating a patient with a particular dose and the patient is not improving. You hear the doctor say, increase the dose. Increase the dose. I advise you too, if your confession is not working, increase the dose. There are no side effects to excessive confession of the word. There are no side effects. In fact, the more the better. The more the better. Are you getting me? Because even the angels, they walk with your words. Kale do baka. Give them something they can walk with. You heard the testimony of Mrs. Cindy Davis. You know, your angels, they walk with what you say. If you say nothing, nothing for them to work with. Are you getting me? Don't allow your angel to be idle around you. Some of you, your angel have obesity. You are not giving him any work to do. Start declaring God's word in faith. Angels, release them. Dispatch them. They are called harvesters. I will come to it. If they are called harvesters. The angels are harvesters. They are the reapers. They are angels. Assigned to reap the harvest and bring it for you. So you begin Shagalido Bakatai. Say, concerning that money, in the name of Jesus, I dispatch the angels to go forth and cause the money to come. Are you getting me? Angels of favor, you release them. Manda barakote keba. Financial money angels, you activate them with your confession. Angels of protection, preservation, you activate their ministry with your confession. Before you go out to win souls, there are angels of salvation that can bring people to, are you getting me? Orchestrate event and give you opportunity to win souls and bring the right people your way to advance into the kingdom. Release your faith with your confession. Malekoba, if you can worry, you can meditate. It's just that worrying is meditating on the problem. It's wrong meditation. You should meditate on the word of God. Then put it in two places, your heart and your mouth. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So you release your faith by your word. The second one is your corresponding action, your deeds. See, look up. Faith in your heart will motivate you to take action steps. Faith in your heart will move you to say something and move you to do something. Any faith devoid of this is fake. Is fake faith. Are you getting me? James said, faith without works. That works there is corresponding action. The things that faith demand. The things you do when you are in faith. The things you do motivated by the faith in your heart. Are you getting me? Write that proposal. Start that business. Start taking action steps. Make that phone call. Are you getting me? Apply for that admission. Start taking action steps, motivated by faith. Manda kabarakataya. Don't allow your faith to be impotent due to lack of actions. Give actions. Are you getting me? As you are led by the Spirit, take those action steps. Take those action steps. Most of the greatest miracle that have happened in my life, it was as a result of faith action. Action like this. As the thing they hurt, take action. You know, there is this saying, strike when the what? When the iron is hot. Strike when what? The iron is hot. That voice telling you, what if it does not work? Ask the voice back, what if it works? Are you don't be a victim of self-doubt, self-sabotage? No. Are you getting me? Kai, you know, spiritual men are like madmen sometimes. Sometimes you are walking on the road. No, it will not happen like this. No, it will happen like this. You know, not be everybody where they talk to himself, Chris. Is the life of the, that's how it's supposed to be. Jesus spoke to a fig tree. Jesus spoke to wind and waves. If it was in our time, they'll say in Don Kolo. Jesus spoke to winds and waves. Are you getting me? Start talking, Every quiet Christian will be a public failure. Listen, even in the realm of darkness, how do they release spell and incantation? What? Enchantment? What? How do they release curses? What? The blessing is released through words. Curses too are released through words. Spells, enchantment, incantation is words. And you will see the people, the witches, the native doctor doing it. They do it with so much faith and confidence. Have you ever seen a native doctor talking? They don't do it with doubt. They are very sure that it will work. But you see Christian confessing God's word as if they are not sure. Somebody is using Satan's power and is very sure. You'll say, hey! You see the confidence, unshakable confidence. They do it with faith. But we Christians that have the most important thing, the word of God, all of God's power is inside his word. But you see that confessing, my God supply. Say, chai, ingo supply, so. You see, that's the problem. You see, the other guy that is in cult is very sure. When they tell him every morning, make this confession before you go to your business and meet customer. And he will say it, believe it, he has faith in it, and it's working for him. You have the most important thing in the world. You have the most important power, but you are not using your own. And then you wonder why the people of this world and even people in the kingdom of darkness, they are winning in their game, even more than believers in some areas. It's because they have faith in what they are doing. Somebody say he wants to be rich. He goes to native doctor, herbalist, to do jazz and all of that. They tell him, bring this, bring that. He brings everything without fail. They say, sacrifice your mother. He even sacrifices his mother. He believes that if he does all this thing, he was going to be rich. And they do it for him. Truly, he sees some money, some level of money. But believers, he say he wants to be rich. God say, here are the kingdom financial principles to apply. Do this, do this, do this. They say, chai, now wow. This tithe self, now Old Testament or New Testament. You see, that's the problem. We don't believe in our own. And you get, that's the problem. We don't do what we are doing with faith. They do their own. They believe it cannot fail. But you do your own with doubt. They have been tithing for the past 5 years. Who tithing help? Sam. You don't really believe. If you truly believe, you will tithe, you will give. If you truly believe, you will pray. Why don't many Christians pray? They don't truly believe in prayer.
They don't have faith in prayer. Why? Because of history of what? Maybe they have plenty history of unanswered prayer. Probably because they didn't know how to pray the right way. Because there are many reasons. Are you getting me? So at a point they lose faith in prayer. So when they have crisis, you ask, have you prayed? They say, pray. Pray. Have you helped me pray? They are so overwhelmed with the problem. They have lost faith in prayer. See, let me tell you too. If you truly believe prayer works, you will pray. Oh, if you truly believe prayer works, you will pray. Your actions give credence to your faith. Your actions validate your faith. Let me tell you, neighbor, your actions validate your faith. Are you learning something? Next key, the ministry of reapers. Both angelic and human reapers. There are two types of reapers. We have angelic reapers. In scriptures, angels are described as reapers. You see that in Matthew 13:37-39. Give me Matthew 13:37-39. Angelic reapers. Then we also have the human reapers. Okay? Referring to helpers of destiny. He said, he answered and said unto me, he that soweth good seed is the son of man. Next verse. The parable of the tares and the wheat. He said, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are children of the wicked one. That's Satan. Next verse. He said, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. That's the enemy that sowed tares. Next verse. The harvest is the end of the world. And look at that last phrase. And help me. 1, 2, 3, go. And the reapers are what? Angels. Angelic reapers are real. Do you know they are assigned to us in this season? They are angelic reapers. And guess what? They are assigned to help you reap the mega harvest. But they work in partnership with you. There are things you must do to activate the ministry of these angelic reapers. Number one, I've told you, your confessions of faith in line with the word of God. Because the Bible says the angels, they hearken to the voice of God's word. Are you getting me? So learn to declare faith-filled words. Learn to speak forth the word of God. Because when you do, you are activating the ministry of angels. When you pray, you activate the ministry of angels. In Daniel 9:21, the Bible said Daniel was praying. He said, the angel Gabriel was made to fly swiftly. Daniel 9:21. He said, while I was speaking in prayer. Can you see that word? He was speaking in prayer. What happened? Even the man Gabriel, angel Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to what? Help me. Being caused to what? Fly swiftly. Touch me at the time of evening oblation. That's 3 p.m. Look up. Your words activate the ministry of angels. So learn to speak the right words. The Bible says, how forcible are right words? Are you getting me? Prayer activate the ministry of angels. In Acts chapter 12, verse 5 down, you will see Peter was kept in prison. But prayer was offered of the church for him. And what happened? Their prayer, the continuous intercession of the church activated the ministry of angels. Angel of deliverance and the angel of judgment. The angel of deliverance went to deliver Peter. Open the prison gates and the doors. Supernaturally, it was prison what? Break. Okay? And brought Peter out. And then the angel of judgment went and judged wicked King Herod that was persecuting the church. He had killed James. He even intended to kill Peter. Are you getting me? After Easter. If not for the intercession of the church. So, prayer is very important. Okay? Listen, the first key I give to activating ministry of angels is what? Your faith-filled words. So, faith and your words. Faith is expressed through your words, okay? So, partner in faith, not in fear. The name of Jesus cannot help you if you call that name in fear during danger. Is that not how Christians have died in accident when they shouldn't have died? Even though they called the name of Jesus, why didn't the name save them? Because it was not done in faith. And angels of deliverance could not help them because they were functioning in fear. Are you getting me? But when you mention, even if a prostitute calls the name of Jesus in faith, it will save her. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you do that in faith. He said, through faith in his name. Are you getting me? Then prayer activates the ministry of angel. Angel of deliverance, rescue, Maliko Barakata. Another thing that activates the ministry of angel is giving. You remember Cornelius, Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Cornelius was given to two things, prayer and almsgiving. And then he had an angelic visitation. Move on, verse 2. A devout man, one that feared God with all his heart, which gave much alms to the poor. You see that? He was a giver. Okay? Charity. He was a giver. And he prayed to God always. Two keys that activated the ministry of angels there. Is giving and is what? Pray. Next verse. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour, an angel of God coming to him. So that angel was an angel of salvation. Okay? He directed him to Peter, who led him to Christ, him and his household. Okay? They got filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized. But notice that this angelic encounter was provoked by what? His giving and what? His prayer. Another example is 1 Kings 3 verse 3. Solomon. Solomon went to sacrifice and all of that. And then Eva, it was the Lord himself that appeared to him in a dream. Are you getting me? And the Lord is a captain of the angelic host. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was after David offered unto God the sacrifice at the threshing floor of Arauna. He then saw the angel with a drawn sword. Are you getting me? And then the plague stayed. So these are things that activate the ministry of angels. Be very conscious of angelic ministry. Are you getting me? So you learn to partner with the angelic reapers. Then the other type of reapers is what? Human reapers. Human reapers refers to helpers of destiny. Okay? There are people God have assigned to help your life and destiny. Okay? The first category are the prophetic helpers. Okay? Prophetic helpers. Give me Ezra 4:23. Ezra 4:23. They are divine helpers of destiny ordained by God to help you, to support you, and to favor you. You know, facilitating the influx of your mega harvest. Ezra 4:23, now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai, the scribe, and their companion, they went up in a haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and by power. 24, they were building the temple, and then others came from above. Then ceased the work of the house of God which is at Jerusalem. It ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Then give me chapter 5. Then the prophets, angelic helpers, prophetic helpers. Then the prophet Haggai, the prophet Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem, in the name of God of Israel, unto them. He says, then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build. You see, prophetic helpers arose following the cessation of the work of building the temple. I don't know what assists in your life. There are prophetic helpers that can help you. Listen, he said they rose, they started prophesying, and then in response, that's another thing that activates the ministry of angels. I forgot to act. Prophetic decrees, prophecies, prophetic words activate their ministry. Okay, he says, Joshua the son of Jozadak began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, and with them were the prophets of God helping them. I like to ask this question: how were the prophets helping them? Is it by carrying bricks? Is it by carrying concrete? Carrying straw? How were they helping them? They are prophesying, prophetic helpers. They are prophetic helpers of your destiny. Are you listening? Never joke with prophetic words. They will program your life. They will program your destiny for success and greatness. They will power your life forward. Are you getting me? Prophetic words are charged with spiritual power and energy to bring forth your harvest. Are you listening? It will break barriers, shatter limitations. It's so important. Kalido barakataya. Imbres kotekida. Labrando kosata. Prophets are carriers of divine rewards. Listen to this. Prophets are what? Matthew 10:41. They are carriers of divine rewards. And you must learn to receive them with the right attitude. That's if you want to enjoy the reward they carry. Jesus said, Matthew 10:41, he says, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. So prophets are carriers of divine rewards. So to maximize the ministry of a prophet, to enjoy those divine rewards they carry, you must be discerning. Okay, you learn to discern well, and then you learn to receive them with the right attitude. I will show you the right attitude to receiving the prophets or the anointed ones sent to you. Okay, they give you prophetic helping hands, which like sharp sickles help you to reap your mega harvest. Glory to God. Can you remember the famine in Samaria in 2 Kings 7 verse 2 and then verse 18? How abundance came into being. How Prophet Elisha prophesied that by this time tomorrow, that was a prophetic helper sent to salvage the economy of Israel. Am I communicating? During time of famine, he said, by this time tomorrow, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. And did it happen? It did. What was their bailout of that famine? Somebody say prophetic helping hand. Very powerful. It says, okay, let me give you, how do you receive the prophets that God sent your way? How do you receive them? The anointed. Okay? Number one, to benefit maximally from their ministry, you must be wise and discerning enough to recognize them. It starts with recognition. Acknowledge and recognize them. Next, receive them with the right attitude of honor, comma, faith, comma, and love. Receive them with the right attitude of honor. What is honor? Honor means value. To honor means to place value on somebody or something. Honor them highly. Esteem them highly. To honor means to highly esteem. Don't esteem them lowly. Esteem them highly. Recognize that they are helpers of your destiny. They are helpers of your joy. Next, honor them genuinely from your heart. Okay? Honor them genuinely. Esteem them highly. Value them. Place a high premium on them. Next, receive them with the attitude of faith. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Believe ye the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe also his prophet, so shall ye be established. Believe the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe also his prophet, so shall ye prosper. Am I communicating? Believe their words. Believe their words. Obey their instructions. Are you getting me? And then love them genuinely. Love them genuinely. If you love them, you won't criticize them. If you love them, you will honor them. If you love them, you will believe in their words. Am I communicating? Love them genuinely. You know, there are people that say, I only like the anointing upon this person, but I don't like the person. The anointing upon the person will never work for you if you don't love the person. Are you getting me? You can't like somebody's grace and anointing and then you hate the person. It doesn't work like that. You can't like the virtue and not like the vessel. So have deep love for both the virtue they carry and the vessel. Okay, then obey their instruction, celebrate them publicly, not just privately. Celebrate them. Am I communicating? This is the right attitude. Hosea 12 verse 13, it says, by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, by a prophet was he preserved. Then Ezra 6 verse 14. The elders of the Jews builded. So it doesn't matter whether you are building a business, a career, a job, or your life, or your destiny, or ministry. You need prophetic helpers. He said the elders builded and they prospered. You see, your prosperity is tied to your prophet. Your prosperity is connected to your prophet. Are you getting me? It's not tied to the government too. Let me tell you, read through scripture. All throughout scripture, I realized the prosperity of God's people was not even dependent on the government of the day. It was dependent on the ministry of the prophets sent their way. Are you getting me? This person will have died of, the whole of Israel will have died of famine, if not that prophet Elisha rose and then through prophetic decrees he upturned and changed the economic situation from extreme famine toward extreme abundance. What about the widow at Zarephath? She will have died of hunger during famine if not that God sent prophet Elisha away. What about the Shunammite woman? You know, see throughout scripture, what about that widow woman whose husband died of debt and the creditor have come to carry their two sons? Who bailed her out? It was prophet Elisha. Read your Bible. The prosperity of God's people is tied to the prophet God have sent their way. You must be discerning. Glory to God. They prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet, Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they builded and finished it according to the commandment of God of Israel, according to the commandment of Cyrus, and according to the Artaxerxes. You see, the same political powers and kings that stopped the building construction before is the same people that say they should go ahead. And then if you read later, God gave them so much favor following these prophetic words. It programmed them for favor such that it was the king that sponsored the building. Is everything they need, they should give them. The same government that stopped the project before is the same government that is sponsoring it. Prophetic power. Are you getting me? Prophetic words will program your life for unimaginable favor. There are other helpers of destiny. Okay? There are some people that God have brought your way that can help you, burden bearers, people that bear burden with you. They are people of influence and affluence, people of means that God can use to bless you, help you, bring you to a position of honor. Are you getting me? Speak for you when you don't have anybody to speak for you. There are people that are like connectors, those that connect you. They themselves, they don't have the power or the might or the influence to help you, but they know how to connect. You remember that little girl, that that slave girl, that Israeli slave girl that was slave to Naaman the Syrian? She was the one that told Naaman's wife to tell Naaman that if he will go to Israel, God will cure her husband. She was a destiny helper to Naaman. She didn't have the power to heal him, did she? Did she have the influence? No, but she was a connector. Can you remember the only battle David would have lost was when the Amalekite invaded Ziklag in his absence, and then they burned Ziklag, set it on fire, carried their women, and David's two wives were even carried, and then spoils, they took it away. How? And David inquired of the Lord. He said, Lord, shall I pursue, shall I overtake? God said, pursue, overtake, without fail, recover all. And then they were on their journey, and then they saw this Egyptian slave that was with the Amalekite. But they saw that he was sick and feeble. They threw him away, left him to die. No water, no food. David and his men were passing. What if they had just passed? See, generosity will save you. Hospitality will save some of you. That is how you have missed some destiny helper. See, some destiny helper may not look like it. They are connectors. Now, the key to David's victory was tied to that Egyptian slave. The moment David saw him, he had discernment. He said, stop. And then they helped this man. And then they gave him food, they gave him water. When this guy has recovered, he was the one that started giving them intelligent information about the Amalekites, where they are, everything. And then David and his men went, and then they conquered them, defeated them, collected all the spoil, and recovered the wives. Imagine if David had neglected the Egyptian. Learn to treat people with honor, respect, and dignity. That gate man, that house help. Some people don't know that some gate men in some organization can even give you job. You say you are looking for job, and you are treating the gate man anyhow. He won't even allow you enter to go and submit your pali. You know pali? Let me tell you something. Oh, Jesus. I don't have time. Let's move on. The wisdom is what? Let me tell you, nobody. Learn to treat people with love, with honor, and dignity. And then the last key, as we round up to reaping your harvest, is the force of joy. I love this one. Kai, I love this one. The force of joy. Kalido Barakata. Give me Isaiah 12 verse 3. The force of what? Joy. Kalada Bakata. He said, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. In the realm of the spirit, joy is a fetcher. It's like a sickle with which we reap the harvest. You cannot reap your mega harvest without joy. Are you getting me? Joy is a sickle for the harvest. Maleko Bakada. A sickle is an harvesting implement or instrument, right? The force of joy. Ketoboko Balakata. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water. Have you ever tried to fetch water from well and you don't have a drawer? Eh? Have you ever tried that? If you don't have a fetcher, you'll be stranded. You are seeing the water, but you cannot get. You are seeing your harvest, but you can't draw it without joy. Joy is like that drawer. With joy shall you what? Draw. The wells of salvation have so many packages there. There is healing there. There is prosperity there. There is preservation there. There is promotion. There is favor. There is wisdom. Everything you need that pertain to life and godliness, every kind of harvest is inside that well. He said, but it is with joy you pull it out. Are you getting this? Very powerful scripture. Keloboko Sabataya. Then if you read Philippians 4 verse 4, Paul said, rejoice. I say rejoice. Again, I say again, rejoice. Double emphasis. Is it because Paul, is this tautology? Is Paul making a blunder here? This is not tautology. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Let me tell you about rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Nehemiah 8 verse 10, he said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And you know, you need strength to reap your harvest. You need strength to reap your harvest. The strength will come from joy. Are you getting me? Joy will give you the required strength you need to reap your mega harvest. He says, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Can you shout amen? Don't be gloomy.
Don't grumble. Don't complain. Even if there is no food in the house, rejoice. Thank God for what? For the gift of life. Kalebo kosabalatia. Are you getting me? He said, unto him that is joined to the land of the living, there is hope. A living dog is better than a dead lion. Are you getting me? As long as you are alive, it's enough reason to thank God for. Rejoice. Now listen, there is a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness depends on happenings. Happiness is circumstantial. Depends on what is happening, the event, the occurrences. If it is good, you are happy. If it's not good, you are not happy. That's happiness. But do you know joy is independent of circumstances? Joy is not circumstantial. Joy is even more than an emotion. Let me surprise you. Happiness may be an emotion. Joy is more than an emotion. Galatians 5:22. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And if you are born again, genuinely, you have joy inside you. And it's unconditional. Unlike happiness. Happiness is conditional. Joy is unconditional. So even during trial, you can rejoice. Even during crisis, you can rejoice. Even when the storms of life come, you can rejoice. Are you getting me? Money or no money, you rejoice. You have joy inside you. Let me tell you never. I have joy in my spirit. Irrespective of circumstances, I choose to rejoice. Paul, Philippians 4 verse 4 that we read earlier, don't go there. He was telling the church in Philippi to rejoice. He said, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Do you know, Bible scholars tell us, he wrote that letter when he was in Roman prison, one of the worst kind of prison. And he was telling them to rejoice because he himself, that is what he is doing. So it doesn't matter the quagmire situation, the hardship you are going through. He said rejoice. Listen, your joyful spirit will change the external condition. It will change the look of things. Your joyful spirit will condition your life correctly. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Let me tell you something. Do you know money cannot buy these things? Listen. Do you know as a believer, you have things that money cannot buy? You know, it's painful that believers envy these worldly millionaires and billionaires that are not born again. See, I will never envy any rich or wealthy man in the world that is not born again. What I have is more than what they have. Their money cannot buy this joy that you have. They cannot have it. It's a fruit. At best, they can get happiness, but not joy. Are you getting this? It cannot buy peace. Do you know one of, in fact, there's this research that said the highest index they use to measure wealth is peace. Peace of heart and peace of mind. How much can you buy peace? Have you ever seen they are selling peace in terminals? Are you getting me? Listen, money can build a house. Money cannot buy a home. There is a difference between a house and a home. A house becomes a home when there is a culture of love and a culture of peace and a culture of joy. And money cannot buy these things. Money can buy bed, but can money buy sleep? Are you getting me? You have things that money cannot buy. Count your blessing, name them one by one. Are you getting me? Keloboko sabalataya. There are some very rich people, but their home is no peace, no love, no husband and wife cannot even look at each other again. Almost everything is automated in the house. Even flat screen TV is automated. But are you getting the money is there, but no peace, no joy, no true love. So the man will carry side chick and bring to his house and enter his matrimonial bed and commit fornication with a side chick. And the wife cannot say anything. If she told you, shut up! Don't I take care of you? Didn't I give you money?
Go and enjoy the money and keep your mouth shut. Don't talk to me. So the woman is living in hell, inside mansion. She's inside AC, but she's sweating. You see her driving latest SUV. You are envying her. Meanwhile, she's envying you. Oh, are you getting this? Move your hand. Do like this. Is it working? When last did you thank God for it? Do you know there are people that don't have hand? Move your leg. Is this one working? When last did you thank God for it? Put your hand on your chest. Is it working? Is your heart beating? Do you know there are patients with heart failure that are on oxygen? Dr. Jesse is here. He can tell you. This oxygen, you are breathing freely with your big nose. They are big. You are not even... You are not... Or should I say with your small nose? Listen. It's even unconscious. You don't even know that you are breathing. Do you know there are people that cannot breathe on their own? They have to be placed on oxygen and they are paying per hour through their nose. You remove that oxygen, they are dead. And you still have the guts to complain. Can somebody that is dead complain? Is it not only somebody that is alive? You know, even as a doctor, I worked in emergency session. I realized anytime there is casualty, mass casualty or accident, and then they bring all the patients. You know, you have to do triaging, triage sieves, triage search. You start with the most critical case and start handling that one. And then you move like that to the least case. We notice that the people that are shouting in pain, their case is even minor compared to the one that is not even talking. the one that had head, that has head injury, are you get that is in coma? Can he shout? You that is shouting, why you holler? Your case is even less. At least you can feel pain. Even in bones injury, if the person can feel pain, it means the bones is not the terrible type. Maybe it's first degree or second degree, but once you reach third, fourth degree, that one will burn off even the nerve cells. So you touch the place, they are not feeling any pain. That person's case is worse than the one that can feel pain. Are you getting me? So all this you're complaining, God, are you still on the throne? Now you dethrone him. God, are you watching my condition? God, are you still there? God, remove him now. You are threatening him. When they born you? You have date of birth. Him, does he have date of birth? The one that began the beginning before the beginning began? You want to threaten him with your small problem? Tell your neighbor, I choose to rejoice. You know, listen, you that is married, you are complaining, no money. There are people that have money, they are looking for children. You have children. God have blessed you. There are people that have money, they are jumping from one gynecologist to another, looking for children. They will pay for IVF, the whole thing will fail. You have children, you are complaining. You even have husband, you have wife. There are people that are looking for husband. In fact, there are women that even have the bride price to give the man that will agree to marry them. Say, no problem, I'll give you the money. Just go and pay for my bride price. Are you getting me? You don't know? I was in Canaan land, went for Shiloh. During the specialized session, there was one session that has to do with singles hoping to be married. Trusting God to marry. I went with my friend. I was surprised that the ratio of male to female is like, no, ratio of female to male is like 10 to 1. That you will count like 10 females before you will see one man in that class. And these are women, some of them, they are working, any salary, fat salary, but no husband. You, God have blessed you with your husband. You abuse him every day. Say, this one a man. They count men, they count them. Now half man be this one now. Man we no get money now, man. Okay, no be man. No be man. There are women that are widows. Are you getting me? Learn to appreciate God. You husband, thank God for your wife. Say, ah, this woman, she dey talk too much. But at least you get wife. Thank God first for her. When you thank God, listen, when you thank God for what he has blessed you with, he will perfect the blessing. Stop focusing on what you lack. One of the reasons people are ungrateful is because they focus on what they lack instead of what God has given them. Focus on what you have, not what others have that you lack. Listen, though, the key to gratitude is to focus on what you have, what God has blessed you with. Remove your eyes from what others have that you lack. Number two, focus on what is working in your life, not what is yet to work or what is not working. The more you focus on the prayer point God have not answered, the things that are not working, the problem, you know, you become ungrateful and bitter. But when you focus on the blessing, the ones that are working, God will work out the rest. Focus on what is working and thank God for it. Be genuinely grateful. He will what? Work out the rest. And there will never be a point in your life that nothing is working. It's a lie. Yes, some people, nothing is working in my life. Even the mouth they are using to say nothing is working, is betraying them. Because if that mouth is not, are they dumb? If they were dumb, they won't be able to talk. So at least for them to say nothing is working, it means their mouth is working. So they just lied. Put your hand on your chest. Is this one working? You know, Bishop Abioye gave a story. A businessman came to him. He said, Bishop, nothing is working in my life. Business down, no money, I'm in there. Nothing is working. In 5 minutes, the guy have said nothing is working more than 10 times. Bishop Abioye was counting. Bishop Abioye said, okay, are you done? He said, yes. He said, move your hand. He said, is this one working? He said, yes. Move your leg. Is it working? Oh yeah, put your hand on your chest. Is your heart working? Say, I thought you said nothing is working in your life. There is always something to be grateful for. You say you don't have car, you have leg. There are people that have cars, but they don't have leg. They are paralyzed. They are on wheelchair. There is always something to what? Thank God for. Be full of gratitude. Another reason people are ungrateful is that they forget too easily. Psalm 103 verse 1. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Forget not. Then he went on to list the benefit. Why? Because human beings have the tendency to forget. Do you know, if you do, have you noticed that if you do 100 good things to people and then you now do one bad thing, do you know they will remember the bad one more than all the 100 good ones? Human beings are funny. They easily forget all the good things God has been doing for them, God has done for them, just because of this one that is yet to happen. Forget not all his benefits. He said, who forgives all thy iniquity? How much can you pay for the forgiveness of your sin? No matter how rich a man is, can he pay for the forgiveness of his sin? Who healed all thy diseases? How much can you pay for your healing? How much can you pay for health? Next, who redeemed thy life from destruction? All those times you were snoring on the bed, they fired arrow from the village. Angel, block them. You didn't even know. You woke up in the morning and you have the God to still complain to God that he didn't give you the money you asked for. And then the angel will say, what if this guy had died that night? Assuming I know block that arrow, now so this guy for die. Now he get mouth to even complain. Who redeemed thy life? All those places, those shrine, they carried your name to. They even carry your picture. That they will have killed you, but God saved you. You didn't even know. who redeemed thy life from destruction. Those accidents God delivered you from, have you thanked him for them? That is, if you even knew that Satan planned accident. Don't have short-term memory. Go home today. Think of this first quarter of the year, what God have done for you so far. Sit down, write them down. He said, count your blessing, name them one by one, and start thanking God for them. When you thank him, you see, thanksgiving is application for more. When you thank him, he will perfect the rest. When the Samaritan came and returned with a loud voice and thanked Jesus for the healing, when he was healed of leprosy, Jesus perfected the healing. He moved from the realm of just getting healed to the realm of what? Being made whole. Thanksgiving perfects your blessing. Jesus stood at the grave of Lazarus. All he did was to give thanks. Dead Lazarus came back to life. Jesus stood. They were faced with scarcity. To feed multitude, he took the 5 loaves of bread, 2 small fishes. He gave thanks. It multiplied. 3 kinds of joy as a random. Number one, the nuptial joy. Nuptial. Give me Isaiah 65:19. Nuptial joy. That's the joy of a bridegroom. The joy of a bridegroom when he sees his bride and vice versa. Have you seen the way Pastor Nenkub was so happy on wedding day? That's called nuptial joy. Just sighted his bride, say, Father, dear Father, see my wife now. I'm only joking, no, it is a so. You understand? Nuptial joy. You know, you see the way Amaria the Ango normally dance on wedding day? That kind of joy is called nuptial joy. Is that we rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people? And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in. I prophesy no more voice of weeping. Refrain your voice from weeping. It's a season of joy. Give me Isaiah 62 verse. This one is even clearer. Verse 5. I like this. Isaiah 62 verse 5. Watch this. It says, for as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride. That is nuptial joy. The way a bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride. He says, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Do you know the day you got born again, God rejoiced. Because he is our bridegroom. Jesus is our bridegroom. We are his bride. So being born again is like marriage. You just got married to Jesus. Jesus celebrated over you. It's called the joy of salvation. It's equivalent to the joy of salvation. Okay? When a soul gets saved, heaven rejoices. Jesus rejoices because he's the bridegroom. Are you getting me? He rejoices over the church. You know, joy is a force that causes things to work for you. Are you getting me? In Psalm 51 verse 11. You remember the prayer of David? Psalm 51 verse 11. He said, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. Next verse. He says, restore unto me what? The joy of thy salvation. And that joy comes from the Holy Spirit. We say joy is a fruit of the Spirit. The fruit that our recreated woman spirit bears as a result of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in us. Can you shout amen? Very, very powerful. Then the second kind of joy is what we call the joy of harvest. The joy of harvest. The joy of harvest. The joy of harvest. Kaleboko sabagadaya. Isaiah 9 verse 3. New King James Version. Isaiah 9 verse 3. The joy of harvest. Okay. He says, thou hast multiplied the nation. New King James Version. Okay. He says, you have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. The spoil is the harvest there. We say harvest time is a time of joy. Can you make some noise? The Bible said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So even noise is acceptable if it has joy inside.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Is that not what the scripture said? Now look up, look up. Let me explain something powerful here. Joel 1 verse 12. Joy of harvest. Watch this. Joel 1 12. It said, the vine is dried up, the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, the apple tree, even all. Somebody say all. All the trees of the field are withered. They have dried up. And what is the diagnosis? What is the cause? Because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Look up. Without joy, there is no harvest. Look up. The harvest will come, how? Through the force of joy. Very powerful. The force of joy is needed to produce the harvest. In this context, joy is not even the effect of the harvest. Joy is the cause of the harvest. Without it, there is no harvest. Look at it now. Is everything dried up because joy has dried up from the hearts of men? When your joy dries up, your business will dry up. When your joy dries up, your financial harvest will dry up. When your joy dries up, your marriage will dry up. Your family dries up. When your joy dries up, your career, your ministry, every area of your life is joy dependent to reap harvest. So let me tell your neighbor, protect your joy. And let that river of joy flow out of your heart. Let loose the river of joy. How do you do that? By rejoicing. Hey! By rejoicing. You release the force of joy by rejoicing. Am I communicating? Habakkuk 3:17. It says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat. That's, it looks as if on the outward, business is not working, finances, career, nothing seems to be working in the physical. He said, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no head in the store. So both the farming business and the agricultural business, everything looks as if no harvest, no result, nothing is working. Look at verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And look at the result of joy. Look at what that joy will cause. He said, the Lord God is my strength. Remember, we said the joy of the Lord is your strength. So joy will give you strength. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like the hinds feet. He will make me to walk upon my high places, my God. That's a supernatural change of level. This is how to change level. Your joyful spirit will produce a change of your status, your situation, and your circumstances. Are you getting me? It will change everything. Give me an amplified. I like the way the amplified put it. Malabako sekete. He said, the Lord God is my strength, my personal bravery, invincible army. He makes my feet like the hind's feet. He will make me walk, not to stand still in terror, but to walk and make spiritual progress. Do you want to make progress? The key is joy. He said, we make, stop complaining. The Holy Spirit is telling me to tell somebody, stop complaining. Stop grumbling, stop murmuring about those problems, about things that are not working, and start giving God thanks. Start rejoicing. Go back home and start rejoicing. This is how to change things in your favor. This is how to make progress upon your high places of trouble. And then the last one, joy in battle. Or you can call it shouts of joy. Shouts or battle cry. This is a type of joy in battle. You remember when the children of Israel compassed Jericho? I think it's Joshua 6.
And when they went round for 6 days once, on the seventh day, they went round seven times. At the seventh time, they gave a battle cry. Am I communicating? They shouted and the walls came down. That's a kind of joy in battle. And you know, in every battle, the shouting side, the side that is shouting out of joy, is the winning side. Rise to your feet. In Psalm 47, they say, God is gone up with a shout. God is gone up with a shout. Even our Heavenly Father, he's gone up. Give me Psalm 47, verse 5? God is gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Can you shout amen? Amen. The walls of Jericho came crashing down. They sank into the ground when they shouted in faith. You see, one of the ways you release your faith is through a prophetic shout, motivated by joy. Are you getting me? There are various expressions of joy. You can express joy through laughter. You can express joy by singing. You can express joy by dancing. You can express joy by shouting in victory. Are you getting me? Kilobaka sabalakataya. I don't know the walls of Jericho, the barriers, the barricade, but this is how they will come down. When you learn to shout them down. Are you listening? You learn to shout them down. He says the walls of Jericho, they sank in. So limitations are crushing, barriers are breaking. Ayagabarakata, things that have been there, issues that have been long standing, chronic conditions, they are giving way forcefully. Oh yes, at the shout of joy, at the shout of your faith, Mande Borakata. He says the Lord God is in the midst of him. The shout of a king is among them. We have the king in our midst, and he said the shout out of a king. Can you give the Lord a shout of praise? Now in 1-2 minutes, just begin to appreciate God. Remember all his benefits. Don't be ungrateful. Thank him for the gift of life. Come on, bless him. Appreciate him for all that he has done for you. Thank him for the gift of life. Oh yes, Kalabataya. Le Brando Bokosa. Thank him for the forgiveness of sin. The psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. He said, who healed all thy diseases? Alabaka so preketoske teke balakata. He said, the voice of thanksgiving, the voice of rejoicing. He konde kepelida. They shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall go forth before them. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. The power of joy, it will level every mountain. Magatose belekida. Let your voice be heard on high, appreciating, celebrating God. Come on, rejoice. Isaiah 55 verse 12. Ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. He said, as a result, the mountains and the hills, they shall break forth before you into singing. He said, all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. My God. He said, sing, O barren. He said, break forth into singing. Isaiah 54 verse 1. He said, sing, O barren. Break forth into singing. Thou that did not have children. He says, you that look barren, you don't have children. He said, break forth into singing. Why? For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife. I want you to lift up your voice and begin to break forth into singing. Break forth into appreciation. Break forth.
shout into celebration praise with your words. Kalabatuzegede agabaliga branda kapakatai lete boko sepelekete malabakondo preketiza alayabakasata. I hear in my spirit the walls are coming down. The walls are coming down. The ancient walls of limitations, they are coming down. The walls, the barriers separating you from your miracles. The ancient walls, age-long walls, they come crashing down. They are coming down. Whatever is separating you from your harvest, those walls, they are coming down. They are coming down. Barriers are broken. Limitations are lifted. Come on, go ahead and celebrate. Rejoice. Oh yes, the walls are coming down. And you are reaping your mega harvest. He said, with joy shall you draw water. With joy, you are drawing your harvest. You are reaping your harvest. With joy, sorrow and sighing is fleeing away. Sorrow and sighing is fleeing away. Malebo kosekete. Jeremiah 31 verse 16. This is a word for somebody. This is a word for a family. Jeremiah 31 verse 16. He said, thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thy eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. They shall come again from the land of captivity. I prophesy to somebody here, I prophesy to a family here, that your weeping days, your days of mourning and weeping are over. You will not shed tears of pain again. You will not suffer again. You will not shed tears of sorrow, pain. In the name of Jesus, my God has turned your sorrow into dancing. He said, refrain thy voice from weeping. He said, dry your tears. Malakute ke barakata. Every situation, every problem that has made you to weep in private and in public, whatever has made you to shed secret tears, whatever is a cause of shame, whatever is a cause of reproach, I stand in my office and with the rod of power and scepter of authority, I decree and declare it is over forever. Your days of sorrow has passed away. Your days of weeping has ended. You will not shed tears of pain or of sorrow and regret again. Refrain your eyes from tears. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy rejoicing. The voice of thanksgiving. For your shame, receive double honor. For your confusion, rejoice in your portion. God is taking away every spirit of depression, every spirit of discouragement, every spirit of despondency. He leaves you now in the name of Jesus. God is giving you the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Be clothed with the garment of praise and let that garment swallow up every spirit of heaviness. In the name of Jesus. All eyes closed, all heads bowed. If you are here and you know your ways are not right with God, you want to hand over your life to Jesus, you want to accept him as your Lord and Savior, I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are. Oh yes, come and surrender your life to Jesus. Oh yes, come and accept the free gift of salvation so that you can enjoy the
you can rejoice with the joy of salvation that comes at new birth. I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are. Anybody like that, you can join me forward. Carry your Bible, your journal, everything you came here with. Come to Jesus. In case you are following online, I want you to say this prayer after me. Oh yes, is there somebody there? Oh yes, celebrate Jesus as he comes. It's a very important decision. Oh yes, this is the best thing. There is joy in heaven over any sinner that repents. In fact, it's the first kind of joy, the one I just call nuptial joy. You remember the parable of the lost sheep? The moment the sheep was found, there was rejoicing. Jesus said, likewise, there is joy in heaven. It's called the joy of salvation. Congratulations. Say this prayer after me. Believe it. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. And on the third day, you were raised back to life for my justification. I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart you are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. I receive eternal life and the gift of salvation. Congratulations.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sazon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-65-302610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you. We'll be right back.